Nice to have your company the final hour of the pre-program, the Big Sports Breakfast, up until 9 o'clock with TK and Jimmy, joined by the Bulldog, Dean Ritchie from the Daily Telegraph. Good to see you, mate.
Good morning, TK. Good morning, Jimmy. One round to go.
One round.
Things are getting very exciting. Of all the games, though, nothing will beat Leichhardt.
Nah,
I think
nothing.
It will be absolutely one of the most special days of the year. Sold out. The barbecue's going in.
Oh.
You need to leave now to get a car park.
Wayne Pearce selling the hot dogs just inside the front gate.
Yeah. He's named in 21. Does he play, Robbie Farah?
I don't know, Jimmy. I wish I could come here and give you a definitive answer, but I spoke to Michael Maguire on Monday, and he said to me, I'm not going to play games. I don't believe in all this media rubbish keeping everyone guessing. If he's not fit enough, I won't pick him. So the mere fact he picked him in 21 would indicate to me that there is still some hope, albeit perhaps very small, that he may play. Yeah. I personally can't see it when you look at the medical background of such an injury. But look, Madge promised he wouldn't play games. He's a pretty forthright bloke, Madge. There's no rubbish
you know
about
that.
Michael Maguire.
Yeah.
So if he's picked him, I think there's some small hope that Robbie may be there.
Yeah, and sentiment won't play a role in Michael Maguire's decision either, because things have been pretty good for the previous couple of weeks, in particular for the West Tigers. Mind you, the competition's been a little bit suspect as they go into this one, but there's so much at stake. This isn't about just giving a bloke a farewell at the beloved Leichhardt Oval. This is about playing for your immediate future. It's the most important match in the current history of the West Tigers.
Robbie texted me yesterday saying I've got to go through all the protocols. So, again,
hang on. Did you text him first or did he just say, hey, Bulldog, just letting you know,
no,
mate.
No, I texted him from someone else's phone. But I texted just saying everything all right. He said, look, I'll go through the protocols. So even he's thinking positive in terms of whether he plays or not. But, you know, it's a difficult one, isn't it? I don't think any one of us would want to see Robbie run out there and an injury occurs again and he hobbles off after a few minutes, and we know what a ferocious personality and competitor that he is. So it's a very delicate one.
I don't think I could roll the dice.
Well, they could play the next week, TK.
Yeah,
I mean, they're bullish about their chances. He could have another week's recovery and come back for a semi-final. Yeah,
I don't know why, but they're actually blowing in the market. They opened up the bookmakers at tab.com.au. You couldn't split them, and now it's 240, isn't it? 240, the West Tigers, the Cronulla Sharkies, who have lost, what, four games because of a lack of a goal kicker?
Yeah.
That's a strange one for me as well. And we saw Sean Johnson, you know, close enough to a $1 million player, coming out and saying, well, all the other clubs I've been at, the Warriors, we've had a goal-kicking coach. There's no goal-kicking coach down there in the Shire. You'd think, wouldn't you? You'd have to think that any first-grade operation would have some sort of a goal-kicking coach.
The Fox Sports Lab this week, it was a hypothetical, but it was quite an interesting stat that they pulled out, was that if there were no convergence this year, the Sharks would be running third.
Yeah.
I mean, quite clearly, that's not how it works.
No, but
just
that's
an indication of how far the Sharks could be ahead of the game if they had a consistent goal kicker. And the kickers they've got are quite good, but they're just not kicking the goals.
And absolutely. And it cost them again on the weekend. I want to ask you a question. It's a little bit off your topic, Dino.
I don't like these, Jimmy.
Yeah, okay. Should there be flexibility in a schedule for days? We were talking about it a little bit earlier. So, for example, on Friday, there's the Eels-Seagulls, Storm-Cowboys. Now, clearly the Eels-Seagulls game is of more interest to more fans, I would have thought. On Saturday, there's Raiders, Warriors, Bulldogs, Broncos, Titans, Dragons, the game. Now, should there be some... And Sunday's the obvious one. You've got Panthers, Knights, which 3 weeks ago was going to be a blockbuster.
Yeah.
Now it's an also-ran. The blockbuster is at 2 o'clock. Should there be flexibility on a day?
I think there should be, yes. But as you said, Jimmy, it's very difficult because 3 weeks ago we thought Panthers Knights. So it can change so quickly.
So you've got to do it. You can only do it a week out.
A week out, correct.
Yeah. And the thing
you
about
it is,
you
could only do it on the day as well. You couldn't have people couldn't have people thinking, oh, I need to go to the footy on Sunday. And you couldn't say, oh, you're not going on Sunday anymore. You're going Friday night.
No,
hang on.
Well, you can't do that with scheduling, with breaks and all that.
Turnarounds. All that sort of
thing. But the thing about it is, Fox League, loving the fact that a blockbuster can only be seen on Fox League.
Fox. I remember years ago, the Cowboys won through to the grand final. It might have been 05, and they switched a game to Townsville inside the final week.
Wayne Bennett took it.
04 it might have been.
It was
Gordy,
against
Gordy
Brisbane.
Tallis.
It was so against Brisbane,
game.
Wasn't it?
Gordy Tallis' yeah. last
so
game.
It can be done, albeit that was a long time ago, but it just proves if you find a will, there is a way. You can do it.
Well, why would Fox give that up?
No, they wouldn't.
You'll see.
They wouldn't.
It's not a great time slot, 6 o'clock, but I am hearing that there will be in the high 20s in terms of crowds.
Yeah, that's good.
So it holds Friday about 30,000, but they think they'll get between 25 to 28. So how that ground good. Will be pumping.
How good. Yeah. Here we go again.
Manly I spoke to Des last night. Look, you know what? He's disappointed and he's upset, but he just says, we'll have to move on. We've just got to keep rocking and rolling. Brendan Elliott's done a good job. And I wouldn't dismiss Manly just yet, guys. I don't think they can win the comp, but I don't think any of us thought that during the year anyway. But as Des said, he said, you know what? We'll give a bit of cheek.
Yeah, they will. And it's not people aren't. I saw Brendan Elliott, I thought, handled himself really well when he faced the media yesterday.
He's fantastic, isn't he?
I thought he was terrific.
Yeah.
he's like an accidental. He let's hope he's an accidental hero for the Manly team. But, you know, everyone's so disappointed. Turbo Tom's not playing. It's like, here I go, Brendan Elliott.
And Joel Thompson, let's not forget that. That's a big loss for them in the middle there.
Corey Waddell comes in, doesn't he?
The chance that Manly had in the market, and it wasn't huge, but they had a chance, is gone.
Correct.
It's just all gone.
Yeah.
I think you're right.
Yeah. With Turbo out. Corey Oates, update there?
Yeah, I think, Jimmy, you'll find that he will re-sign. He's off after this year. He's on a one-year deal. He's got a funny situation, Corey. He doesn't seem to like to go long-term, but I think he's about the last piece of the jigsaw there. Looks like they're now going to get Fifita. They've got Pangai sewn up. They're pretty much in a good position, Brisbane, moving forward.
Are they?
Oates was the only one that we're thinking may look elsewhere, but I think you'll find that an announcement on his retention will be imminent.
They still need a 6 and a 7.
Yes.
And a 9. I mean, I like Turpin, actually, but you know what I mean? I mean,
Milford?
They still need a 6 and a 7. Well, he's your one.
Yeah. I think Dearden's the one that they're thinking comes through.
Will Milford stay at fullback next year, though, when Darius goes? If it is next year?
Oh,
hang on.
That's a little bit Freudian there.
He's got two years to go.
Hang on. When Darius goes next year, what do you know, Dino?
I'm not hearing anything, but I think Darius's form, albeit his game last week, was probably his best of the year.
That's true.
I think Darius's time has come, and I think that's not being disrespectful. That's just being factual and looking at a great player who's clearly sliding and he's on big money.
It's about what you're paying. And they're not getting it. He's not a million-dollar player.
That's locked.
I know that.
They've got to give it to him.
Correct.
Somehow.
There's
many ways to do that. And you can ask the South Sydney Rabbitohs about that.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. But they've got to give it to him. This sums up the bizarre world of rugby league. Jesse Ramien. Sacked by Newcastle. All of a sudden they wanted him back and now he doesn't even want to go back. He's a strange one. He's a good talent on the market.
Yeah, there's plenty of interest out there, TK. Well, there was the Bulldogs, Titans, Storm, Sharks, Titans and Tigers were the ones that were linked to Ramien. I am hearing the Sharks are still there somewhere, somehow, and the West Tigers. They're the final two.
They couldn't have much money, the Cronulla Sharks.
Yeah, no, I don't think they've got a lot, but it could be a back-ended deal. They're the final two standing, I'm hearing, TK. Sharks and Tigers for Jesse Ramien. The rest, I think, are out of
Tigers,
equation.
They must be moving players.
Well, Madge is desperately trying to move a few players.
Well, he's got three high-profile players not in his top 17.
Which must be incredibly frustrating for him trying to look forward and knowing he can't burst into the open market, which he wants to do because he's got blokes hanging around in reserve grade through no fault of his own either.
Yeah, absolutely. Second Brisbane team. Front page from Buzz on Sunday put a cat amongst the pigeons about which Sydney side goes, but a 17-team competition.
That's the mail I'm getting, Jimmy. Look, it's clear that everyone wants a second Brisbane team, the NRL and the host broadcasters. Nine will probably get their wish for that second Brisbane side. But the mail I get is it may not necessarily mean a relocation for a Sydney club. I think you'll find that Peter Beattie is couching the Sydney clubs, excuse me, and protecting them at the moment. And at this point, I think you'll find that the commission's logic will be if a 17th team does come in, whatever year that would be, If a second Brisbane team comes in, rather, it would be in a 17-team competition, not necessarily a 16-team comp. And the Sydney clubs would survive, provided, obviously, they can look after their finances.
It's too painful.
We can't go down this path
again,
Jimmy.
It's too painful.
We did it with South. We've done it with North. You can't have executives from TV telling the NRL to get rid of clubs that have 50, 60, 100 year of traditions.
What about media organisations other than TV networks?
That was a long time ago. That was different. But you just can't. You're obviously referring to Super League, Jimmy. Yeah. It was an ugly time.
It was.
If we went back, I'm sure there'd be a lot of things that would be done different on either side. But I just don't think the pain would be worth it. And you'd be surprised how many Sydney clubs and fans would support other Sydney clubs in tough times.
Mate, I'm telling you, moving to the Shire and being there for the last 4 years...
It's an important part of the community,
If you took the Sharks out of that area, it would decimate the community.
Absolutely.
And
that's not a reason to keep a side in, but...
It's a big part of it.
That's the impact it would have.
It's what your mum and dad followed, and your grandfather, and your great-grandfather. It's generation upon generation of support. It's just ingrained in your soul
to
support that team.
Yeah. Let's hope they can stay healthy. And if they can stay healthy and financially viable, you know, when you see figures like from the world of the AFL, where they're turning a $50 million profit, that's the organisation, and the clubs between them are turning a $40 million profit, you know, they're clearly marching in the right direction.
The NRL had a $50 million profit too this year. There's a lot of reasons associated with that.
Yeah.
But certainly the clubs aren't anywhere near that.
So, I mean, let's hope they can all be financially viable.
Well, the worry is the next TV deal, which I think is in 2 years, whether they secure the $1.9 billion they got in the last deal, given that TV ratings are sliding to some degree through people watching it on their phones and their tablets and their computers, etc. So whether the TV stations say, look, we're just not going to cough up that kind of money again, and of course that would flow down to the clubs having less money.
That will be fascinating, this broadcast deal. I want to ask you, there's a story you wrote in today's newspaper about Brock Jarvis.
Yep.
Mark Burris is backing him. He had a win on Saturday night on that Jeff Horn undercard. What's in the future for Brock Jarvis?
Yeah, I've met Brock numerous times. Terrific young bloke.
Yeah.
Very respectful, dedicated, focused, and I think you'll find he will fight for a world title the next 18 months, Jimmy. At the moment, he signed with D&L, which is Dean Lonergan's promotional company, which does look after Jeff Horn.
Yep.
He's going to have a headline fight in Melbourne in November. And then, as I understand, there'll be another headline fight in Sydney in January. And then from there, they may think about taking him over to America. He's 17-0 now. He'd be up around 20-0 by then. And maybe that's time to start talking big. He was 15th in the world before his fight last weekend, so he might creep down a few places in the rankings.
Jeff Fenwick's always had a very, very big opinion of him. Good on you, buddy.
Thank you for having me.